Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel reading. Especially remember these verses. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So far our text. There are two issues to this gospel lesson that will garner our attention today. First of all, what does Jesus reveal of himself in this word? And second, what is the response of the disciples? After he was finished feeding the 5,000, Jesus sent his disciples off into a boat, and he went off by himself to a mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was far off from land, and the sea was windy, and it was rough. Sometime between 3 and 6 in the a.m., Jesus came walking to them on the sea. The disciples saw him and were terrified, thinking he was a ghost. But he did not allow them to remain afraid, but spoke to them immediately, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." We are given to understand here that the disciples in the boat were anxious and they were tired. They had been fighting the wind on the sea until early in the morning. It is at this time that Jesus comes to them, in the dark, walking on the sea. And in a human way, we cannot blame the disciples for their fright in thinking he was a ghost. After all, they had left their master on the shore. Jesus, who is flesh and blood, skin and bones. Jesus came in the flesh, and he has weight, and he takes up space, buoyant as any human to float on the water or even to swim, but surely not to hover above the water like a ghost or a spirit. But here, Jesus, as usual, reveals the very heart of God to us. We must not believe our natural thoughts about God, because by nature we are enemies of God, and we think he means us harm. We think he's hostile towards us. And when his presence is manifest, terror strikes the conscience. From this perspective, God is little more than a specter, a supernatural terror. But Christ does not shame his disciples for not recognizing him. He does not rebuke their failure to see. Instead, he corrects their blindness with a word. "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." The one thing that everyone, from one end of the globe to the other, knows in their heart about God is that he is powerful. Powerful enough to cause storms on the sea and powerful enough to stop them. God is sovereign enough to save some people and to condemn others. He is big enough to fill the whole world and yet small enough to be a single man, Jesus Christ. But knowledge of God's sovereign power is no comfort at all to your conscience, unless you know what he thinks of you. Even the demons believe in God's sovereign power, and they don't rejoice about it for one minute. They shudder, because they know they are condemned. And the same goes for all of you. When your natural heart simply considers the awe and the majesty and the power and the might of God, you only have reason to shudder and be terrified, because you are a worm and not a man. You are a sinful man and dwell amongst a sinful people. And that doesn't bode well for you. It is a fearful thing to stand in the presence of the Almighty God. This is why Jesus' premier and primary message to the world, now that he has come into the world, is this: take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. The disciples were certainly afraid of the wind and the waves. And when they thought an unfamiliar spirit was coming to them, they forgot their earthly danger and faced supernatural terrors. So Jesus immediately speaks a word of comfort. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. It is I, your loving Lord, who comes to you, who has repeatedly demonstrated his kindness to you. And I come to you now walking on the recesses of the deep. Not only do I have supernatural, spiritual power that belongs to God Almighty, and not only am I with you now, I am for you. Do not be afraid. This is one of many not so subtle ways that Jesus reveals himself in his word to be their God and to be our God. He commands them to trust in him, to put their faith in him, to believe that not even the depths of the sea can separate him from them. And more than that, that this is a good thing too, because he is Emmanuel, God with us. And so we need fear no earthly thing. His death has conquered hell and death. His resurrection has prepared a place for us in heaven. And his ascension means that right now, Jesus Christ in the flesh fills heaven and earth and rules all things in heaven, on earth, over the sea, as our Lord, as our Savior, as our friend. And it's not just the disciples on the sea to whom Jesus says, take heart. He offers these words to anyone who is terrified of earthly dangers and yet too terrified of God to seek his protection. It is to that person Christ has this eternal gospel. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of death. I have destroyed death. Trust in my resurrection and you shall never die. Do not be afraid of your sins. I have paid for them. Trust in my forgiveness and you shall never be put to shame. Do not be afraid of the world. I have overcome the world. Trust in my kingdom and you shall inherit heaven. Do not fear the devil. I have bound up the devil and cast him out. Resist him firm in your faith, and he will flee from you. Take heart, it is I who is with you, even to the end of the age. Do not be afraid. Once Peter hears Jesus' words, he answers him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Here Peter displays a bold faith, unfettered confidence in his Lord. This faith, of course, is not his own doing, but a product of Jesus' words. It is I. Do not be afraid. These words made him so eager to be with Jesus that he wanted to come to him, even on a raging sea. And this desire of Peter that he has to come to Jesus immediately is not impatience or rashness or impetuousness. It is a truly pious desire as the Lord commands all of us in many places of Scripture. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of God. So Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came to Jesus at his command. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And we see here this general rule, that when we realize that we are with God and under his protection, our sinful selves bid us to turn our heads back to the world, to find new things to fear there, and believe God has left us all over again. So when Peter gets over his fear of ghosts, finds instead the comfort of Jesus, he thinks he can once again face the dangers of the world on his own courage. He is immediately proven wrong. And this is a perpetual problem with certain strains of Christianity. A frightful teaching that your faith in Jesus only gets you in his kingdom, but it is your works, your striving, your loving efforts to love God, deny yourself, and help those around you that's going to keep you there. Now, it is very true that a perfect faith would never for one second take its eyes off of Jesus. But no one is perfect but Jesus. Not even St. Paul himself, who said, "Not that I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own." We daily sin much and deserve nothing but punishment. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Had perfection been required, Peter's grand act of faith in following Jesus' command and coming to him on the water would have ended a tremendous tragedy. He would have looked to the wind and sunk in failure and shame with no one to help. Instead, he still had the faith, the imperfect, and nevertheless saving faith to call out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus didn't repeat his command again. He didn't say, "Come again." He didn't say, "You can do it, Peter." He didn't coach him for swimming lessons. No, Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And he rescued him anyway. And here is perhaps the greatest comfort, that we are justified by grace through faith alone, even imperfect, weak, little faith. If it is a faith that knows to call upon Jesus as Lord, it is a faith that immediately rescues you from the abyss and raises you to Christ. Martin Luther once wrote a famous line to a friend who, to my understanding, was doubting in some way his ability to do the right thing in a matter. Luther said to him, "Be a sinner and sin boldly, but believe even more boldly in Christ, who is victorious." You should know these words have caused great scandal in our own church body, because they appear to be encouraging sin. And I personally don't like them, at least the first part. If they do mean anything of value, it would be this. When Jesus instructs you to come out of the boat, don't neglect to do so because you might turn your head in a moment and sink. Should that happen, call out to him, and he will immediately save you. For instance, if Christ commands you and your wife to be fruitful and multiply, or anything else he says in Scripture, don't refuse to have children because you might fail as parents Rather, when you do fail, remember to call upon Christ for help. Not only will he rescue you, that is, forgive your failure, but he will also give you his Spirit to carry out your vocation. But that's not sinning boldly. It's simply what God has called you to do, your vocation. Carrying out your God-given duties, and doing that will never cause you to lose your salvation, nor put you to shame. So Scripture says, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In conclusion, in summary, Jesus shows us the heart of God and his attitude to us. He reveals himself as a God who does not wish to condemn you, but to save you, to guide you, to protect and preserve you. And for this reason, he deserves your worship. He deserves us all to say to him, truly, you are the Son of God. And this scripture also shows us the life of the Christian, that we live our lives by faith, not by sight. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, we will never be put to shame. And this is the sign of a great faith, a strong faith, a faith that will find contentment in this life and a home in the next. But should your faith be weak, and you become frightened by the dangers of the world or the wrath of God, even a little faith will cry out to Jesus, and even a little faith will be saved. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.